Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. I'm Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders in the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. My conversation today is an exclusive chat with the CEO of Africa's Eden Tourism Association, Gillian Blackbeard. She tells me the main objective of Africa's Eden is to drive travel and tourism that positively contribute to society and the local and regional economies. Africa's Eden is a private sector driven organization representing Botswana, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, at some point Angola, undertaking an ambitious destination marketing strategy and campaign at all levels of the tourism supply chain. So, Gillian, welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and good to have you and good to see you again from events we had in Cape Town. Can you, for the purposes of those who don't know who Gillian Blackbeard is, if I got the name correct, introduce yourself and what you do, what you've been doing and what you do now?
Well, thank you, Kojo. And you got the name correctly. It's Gillian Blackbeard, as in Blackbeard like the pirate. But no, I'm not a pirate. Well, certainly not in my work environment. My children might tell you differently. So when we spoke last at WTM, which is a week ago, I am currently the founder and CEO of Africa's Eden, which is a destination marketing and thought leadership organization for the countries of Botswana, Namibia, Zambia, and Zimbabwe at the moment. So we work within destination management, we work within events, we work in data, we work in networking and creating various linkages and affiliations across the tourism ecosystem. So primarily it's lodged in product, but it expands later further afield to the entire system. And that's been going on for the last 3.5 years. Yes, we started in COVID. Before that, I was the director for the WTTC, so the World Travel and Tourism Council for Africa. And I did that work for about 9 months when they were trying to drive African signups to the WTTC. Before that, I was working as the executive marketing manager for Botswana Tourism. And I did that for a good, I don't even know, I think it was 6 years. It felt like a lifetime. And before that, I worked in Piemont in hotels, et cetera. And way before that, I lived in Europe and was actually not in tourism. I have a degree in finance and international relations, and I worked in the shipping and aviation industry in Europe. So long history there, but that's a brief synopsis of what I've done. Who I am, Kojo, I think everyone knows I'm a very big proponent of Africa, of the continent, of the natural resources we have. I'm involved in conservation and sustainability, works in circular economy, and really pushing forward a positive narrative for Africa as a continent.
Great. I mean, you started off saying that you're a tourism person, but when I look at you doing cruise lining and all of that, and aviation, and then, now back to tourism fully, no one would have thought that they're coming straight from, finance background, because the two are, obviously we need cash, we need money to do things, but they're a bit separate. So
yeah, the finance didn't trickle through. I found it far better to be in marketing where I could spend the money rather than save it.
There we go. So great. I mean, you talked about Africa's Eden, and I recall vividly when you started this initiative. And I don't know if, we can call it some of the silver linings from COVID and all of that. But 3-4 years from now, you seem, or the group seem to have picked such an incredible momentum and, for the sector. And exactly what segment of the market, i.e. the trade and destination, do you guys engage in, and what is your operating areas?
Sure. I think let's go one step back and really just like hammer in and focus on, as you said, the silver lining of COVID. And I think Africa's Eden as a concept, and even though it has evolved, we're still trying to find our feet and our identity, but as a concept of regional integration and collaboration, or even competitive collaboration, wouldn't have found its feet if COVID hadn't happened. And we started off with the thinking of Africa's Eden because there was a call from private sector operators, products in Zambia and Zimbabwe, to address the issue that was circulating in the media in 2019 about the Victoria Falls drying up and the negative impact. And they felt that the private sector wasn't being heard and there wasn't the correct information going out. And I was approached by various people in the tourism industry to set something up that could speak for the private sector across borders, right? So it was a collaborative effort. And these were people who traditionally competed, companies that traditionally competed for the same market on the same product. And I said, sure, this is going to work. But if I'm going to take this on, I can't see this working unless we look at it outside the confines of just one single destination, i.e. Livingston and Victoria Falls. Let's put this together and at least work in CASA, because if you look at the data, very few people travel to just a single destination. So how can we go out to the market and talk about destination marketing from a single destination perspective, when we know that the very clients that come go to multiple destinations? So that was in February 2020. And Africa's Eden was born, and we were initially focusing on just the CASA destination. So it's still the four countries of Botswana, Namibia, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, and Angola, if they have tourism product. And it was in CASA. And the thinking was, let's work on this together. And as I said, there were COVID happened a month later, and my members were struck with something they'd never had before, where there was no clients, there was nobody, and the few clients that they had to make operational sense. For example, if you're doing a border transfer from Victoria Falls to Kisani, competing companies would be working together for the 10 clients that they were taking. So one day would be company X and the next day would company Y, and they would share clients. And I think that really drove this concept and this goal of collective collaboration on competing companies. Great. So then we fast forward, and COVID was tough. COVID was awful. And those founding members, we started with 15, really kept the company going. And I know that it took a lot of personal contribution, both in time and finances, to keep us going. But we did grow, and within the first year, we had over 100 members. And at that point, we realized that we couldn't service our membership, because a lot of our members either had properties in CASA and properties outside of CASA. So, for example, if you are Natural Selections, who has properties in the Okavango Delta, but you also have properties on the Skeleton Coast, you are servicing more than one area, so you're not just in CASA. So we took the decision to expand outside of CASA and say, no, it's the four countries in total, okay? At the time, we were just focusing on tourism products. So that is the owners of accommodation facilities and activities. And then we quickly opened up to tour operations and DMCs within those countries, okay? And we grew. And basically last year, we were sitting on about 350 members. And we realized that there was a big gap that we were seeing on two levels. So if you look at the tourism ecosystem on a line of continuum, you have the product in the middle. On the upstream, you have the travel trade. So the global industry, the regional industry that sells tourism product. So there is a communication section between product and trade that we need to work on. And then on the downstream, we saw that there was a big disconnect between the product and the suppliers of goods and services. So within the value chain, those indirect suppliers of goods and services, there was a disconnect. And we had been so successful in creating this network of communication, we said, okay, let's open up Africa's Eden to encompass everything, because if we're going to represent the destination, let's look at the entire ecosystem. So we opened up last year to suppliers on the downstream and travel trade who sell the destination on the upstream. So on the upstream, we do really well. We're known in the trade. We have a database of about 15,000 global trade organization members, trade companies, independent specialists. So we're working with those and they're attending our events. And now we're working on the value chain within the downstream. And this is a challenge, Kojo. I think that there's an immense need. People really all on the supply chain say we want to have that connection with tourism. And on the tourism side, they say they want to have a connection with the suppliers because they don't necessarily understand the nuances of tourism. But because it's so new, this has never been done before, we are working on it and it's slowly taking up. Come fast forward to where we are now, we're sitting on, I would say, about 450 plus members. And we've now expanded what we're doing to incorporate air access. We have a project ongoing that looks at air access within our countries. So that brings into the Africa's Eden fold airlines, civil aviation, various bodies that look at specifically air access, which is so important within our, okay, our organization and for our members.
Okay. All right. I mean, this is a real insight into what you do. But again, as you know and you're aware, I mean, in the region, I mean, SADC is doing great in terms of the region and cross border partnerships. Now, with your members, how do you integrate or how do you cut the interests of small groups? Because at some point in time, it's beginning to look as if the small chick and medium operators are not, I mean, I won't say is, I mean.
Are left behind. Come, let's be frank.
Exactly. This is the point. So how are you pushing them? How are you bringing them on board? Yeah. How do they feel that?
Sure, that they incorporated because, you know, Africa's Eden, because it grew so fast, it, from the first glance, could be a monolith. It could be this big organization going forward that has no relevance or benefit for the small operator. And I think that is a misconception. And by our very nature, from the very beginning, from when you're looking even at our membership tiers, we have tiered membership. Our organization is entirely funded by our members and through membership fees. And if you look at our membership fees, there's fees for large companies that have over 100 rooms to fees for a company that might be 5 rooms or an experience operator or within the supply chain an SMME. So by the very foundation, even how we charge, we allow people to join in a membership fee structure that is conducive to bringing them on board. But obviously finance is not just the challenge because once you join, you know, you have that risk. If it's so big, they think, well, okay, we joined, now what? And I think one of the things that I talk about when I speak to small operators, and at WTM, I had a few conversations with some small operators, whether it's in Zim, for example, MJ Air, who operates helicopters in Zim, or whether it's Camp Kwai, who are a small individual camp in the Okavango Delta, and they're like, we're members, how do we benefit? And I always think on a marketing concept, if you have a network and you have a large group of people working in a network, and this can be within LinkedIn or it can be in a normal network, the big fish are attractive to the people you want to capture. So within the trade or the actual traveler. So you have a big fish. When you come together under one umbrella, whether it's at a trade show or whether it's within the website where people want to network and they, for example, searching, they've booked their holiday and they're going to Victoria Falls, they've been attracted by a large member, let's say the Victoria Falls Hotel, then they're thinking, what are they going to do? They're easier to see, so it increases the visibility of the small member, whether it's MJ Air or a small restaurant like Dusty Road, or a, for example, a small transfer operator like Wilch Tours, who operates transfers between Livingston and Victoria Falls. So what I'm saying is, from a marketing perspective, if you have the big fish, a lot of the trade are more positive
in coming in. Having to be also.
So you're elevating each other. And I think it's not just that. Look, I think we have to say that there are success stories in our region. And what I found by this collaboration is there's a much more open attitude to sharing key learnings. You know, COVID really shook those silos. There's a lot more openness to collaboration where you can say, look, we don't want to keep everybody on our resort. We want them to go to Dusty Road. Yes, we have a product like the Bomar in on our resort, but we really want them to go and see Dusty Road. Or we really champion the small transfer company. And then it filters down. It really does, because if you're looking downstream, you're also looking at small producers. We had this lovely story, Kodra, and I'll give you an example for SMMEs, which I think touches my heart, and it shows the very essence of Africa's Eden. We host two events called B40, Business for Tourism, where we bring in local suppliers of goods and services to meet the procurement managers, which is very hard to find in the big companies. We had one in Mound last year in September. We had about 90 buyers from the Botswana tourism sector meeting suppliers of goods and services. We had a company called Dream Flavors. They are based in Gaborone and they make yogurt with natural Botswana flavors, so marula, moringa, various other flavors. It is a SMME that had been financed through a government grant to make yogurt. And it's a wonderful product, really well made. They're out there. And they, at the show, immediately got two of the biggest companies in Botswana saying, right, we want a yogurt a day for every single camp and lodge. So I'm talking, you know, 200 pots of yogurt a day. So I'm like, this is fantastic. they have the capacity, government has financed the capacity, but the financing loan had only worked on the capacity to produce. So basically, they were stuck. They had the buyers, they had the clients, they had the product. They didn't have a truck to transport it from Gaborone to Mound. And through Africa's Eden, I said, well, this is not going to work. We went to Send Foods, which is another member of Africa's Eden. They produce and distribute beef products across the country. And I said, look, guys, we know you have trucks going up and forth. Will you take this on as an SMME and a project and put on the yogurt in your trucks? And they said, yes. And not only that, they said, look, they will buy a quantity of the yogurt to supply also through their supply chain. And that's a way where you've got this collaboration for a small company. I mean, these ladies have been fabulous, Kojo. They had paid their membership fees in small amounts, you know, 100 pula or so a month. And from that, they had access to the largest companies in
Yeah,
Botswana
I
to
think that's
buy
positive.
and access
I
everything.
think
So that's the essence.
wow, that's positive. Let's quickly look at your summit and what is happening this year for Africa's Eden. What will be happening this year, and then you can tell us about the summit and where it's taking place.
Okay. So, you know, we are known in the trade very much for our events and our trade work. And I wanted to differentiate Africa's Eden that we're not just an eventing company. We're not. We're destination marketing, but we also thought leadership and we collective action. And the way to do this would be to bring globally recognized speakers to talk about topics that were important to our region. And I developed the summit to encompass these issues, whether it was on destination marketing, it looked at trade and investment, it looked at conservation and local empowerment. We brought together an immensely influential stable of speakers. It was just so impressive. I mean, it really was my baby. And the vision was to host this in Livingston in June. And everyone was ready and excited. But unfortunately, we just didn't get the sign-ups. And after polling and understanding why, we realized that the industry are just too busy. I mean, tourism is booming. People just cannot take 2 days of their lives to come and to do the work in a summit. So we've decided to take it virtually online, and we've broken up each session into 2.5 hours every Thursday afternoon for the month of June. And you can go onto our website and choose which sessions you want to do. It's also free of charge. So, for example, our first panel is on marketing, and we've brought in really the titans of marketing. And I believe that it's something that people want to know about. We've brought in Caroline Moultrie from the US and the UK. We've brought in Debbie Flynn, We've bought in, now I'm trying to remember on the marketing panel, but there's, oh yes, we've bought in Sherry Briggs from Explore. So the US market is there. So really trying to understand about marketing, and anybody in the industry can log on, watch the summit, watch these people talk, put in questions because it is virtual, and get that insight, because Africa's Eden isn't just about events. It's about thought leadership and really empowering everybody in the region to do better.
Okay. Now, let's, as we round up, aside of the summit, what other activities or roadshows or engagement that you're offering your members, and what value? I mean, obviously, you've explained the kind of value. I mean, you've illustrated one of the many, you know, things that, you know, it adds to you being a member. But in terms of the year, I mean, what are you looking to do?
100%. We do have many regional events, which are for the small people, but our big signature shows, we have two. One at the end of the year is our global trade show, and it's in destination. This is the fourth edition, and we invite buyers from across the world to congregate and have in destination workshops, fam tours, and meetings. At the end of the year, there's about 120 buyers, and that's happening in Swakopmund. So it's about 120 exhibitors, 120 buyers. And then right now coming up, we're about to depart for Lusaka next week, where we've done exactly the same model, but we would like to show our appreciation for the African buyers, because so often they get left behind, and we want to celebrate the African-based trade who send clients to Africa's Eden. And that's a four-day event in Lusaka. Right now, they're already on pre-fams across the four countries, and we're all going to meet in Lusaka, have destination workshops, one-on-one pre-scheduled meetings, networking, and really celebrate the contribution that our African suppliers give to us. Because sometimes when at these big shows, they seem to get forgotten. When
yes,
you put in
you're
global
right.
And
that,
African.
That I can attest to that. You're right. No, Gillian, thank you so much. I think it's been very insightful, and you've given us really a dive in into you know, the works and the activities of Africa's Eden, and hopefully looking forward to the event, and personally, maybe I should be able to be there present.
Well, I'm hoping to see you, Kojo, in at least Lusaka, if not Lusaka and Swakopmund.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kojo.